I thought a bit of Shack Attack would keep us in the mood. This is night music to me, and
it's called
Night Birds, and you can hear that sort of vibe and mood and people that are up through the night, the night owls or the night birds are being called here. And yeah, that's what we're talking about with my co-host, cross-cultural psychologist, Saminae Shaheen. Are you a night owl or an early bird? And what is life like for you if you work nights, if you work and do shift work and entailing you to be grafting away, being industrious and keeping this city going through the night hours?
It's a whole host of other responsibilities and sights and sounds, isn't it? Like you hear in the song, you were saying there's that twinkling in the background, the mystery attached to it. I think it's also important, we've touched a little bit about habits, and it's also important to keep in mind that we have to align our natural intrinsic abilities with where we live, who we interact with, our choice of partner, the colleagues that we have, the commitments we have, and the responsibilities that we need to sort of step up to. And even though some people might have a natural tendency to want to embrace the night and stay up till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, I sometimes joke with my colleagues who stay up that late. I say, do you function on Tokyo time or San Francisco time?
Yeah.
Because we're in Dubai. What about the time here? What's going on? It does affect your work. It might affect your appointments, your commitments, and things
Absolutely.
Like that. Absolutely. You know?
And we have to share with you this morning that we had a guest booked earlier and who's not managed to get here.
Yes.
And quite possibly due to the fact that they are a night owl and have been working last evening, and it just sends your working day and your social time into disarray sometimes, managing
yes.
that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this person is in the photo booth industry, and many of the events that he's involved in with his team is that he needs to appear at events at 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening and stay there till about 2 a.m. or when the event finishes to make sure they're there troubleshooting if things should happen technologically, and then to wrap up and take the photo booth home. And, it is a choice. It may be a passion. And when I was speaking to him, he was saying that it really was, I couldn't believe that I finally found a job that required me to be awake during these times and to make money during the times that
yeah.
I'm happiest, and that I don't have to wake up before 11 o'clock in the morning
or
12 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, which is true. When I worked in comedy and theatre, it was late nights. Mm-hmm. It was, you're in the entertainment business, so it would be shows that were happening in the evening. And of course, you finish and the show wraps up and you head on home, but it doesn't mean then you just immediately go to sleep. You need to wind down from that time, particularly if it's been a live show, there's an adrenaline involved, there's a lot of energy involved, and so you need that sort of downtime afterwards before you're ready to actually go to bed. So it does affect you in so many different ways. Another way it may affect you, we have a message mm-hmm. here. I'm an early bird and my partner is a late night owl, and since it usually means I stay up later than I should, my sleep patterns are a problem, as I seldom feel I have a good night's sleep. My partner refuses to try and alter his patterns in any way. Is there any way to reach a compromise to satisfy both sleep rhythms? And this is a very interesting text message, because also I've got pieces here about married early birds and night owls, and how if you and your spouse wind down at different times of the day and your sleep preferences are different, this could harm your marriage. And also I've got a few solutions here as well, but your thoughts, Saminae?
Fantastic. Yeah, it is an issue. And it can be an issue with people who are married or people who are roommates, so in the same way, especially if you're in college or even you have roommates here in the UAE. What happens is, in the beginning, what we try to do is we try to strike a balance and compromise much more and change our sleeping patterns and our ways to please the other person. But then eventually what happens is, if I'm naturally a morning person, but I'm now staying up till 1 or 2 in the morning, I'm not functioning at my optimum energy level in the morning, which then builds up frustration, irritation, anger, and then the big R word, resentment. And then eventually what will happen is I will revert back to my own natural tendencies, meaning that I'll sleep earlier. So right from the beginning of these relationships or of these, you know, sort of associations that you have, it's important not to pull yourself out of sync too much, because it sends a confusing message. Couples will often say, but you were so good when we first met. You know, it was so much fun. Yeah. We used to stay up till all hours of the morning doing such fun things together. What happened to you? Now you're boring and you don't do that anymore. Well, it's because in the beginning I wanted to impress you and I wanted to do things that were not naturally, didn't come easily to me, but I suffered as a result. So try and stay in sync, of course, with a little bit of flexibility as much as you can. The second point here is that when you compromise most of the time, neither person is fully satisfied. So, which means if I stay up later, I'm not going to be satisfied. If you sleep earlier, you're going to be resentful. So why not alternate? Use one night out of the week in which you do enjoy staying up. Maybe the person who's naturally an early bird can take a nap in the afternoon and try and stay up a little bit later that night. And in the same way, the other person can perhaps wake up slightly earlier in the morning, which means that they might be more conducive to sleeping slightly earlier that night. So not necessarily compromise in terms of meet me in the middle, but compromise in alteration of taking turns of once or twice in the week of sleeping earlier, sleeping later.
Really, really good advice, and echoed here in this article. Just a few more as well. Talk about it. So find that time in the day to either brainstorm solutions together, or even more importantly, to have some quality time and quality conversation together that both of you works for both of you. Also, it's saying agree to keep your bedroom free from television or any technology as well. So when sleep is happening, you get the best possible sleep. Avoid stressful conversations at the end of the day. And like you say, accept your early bird spouse's need to have quiet time before going to bed. And also goes on to say about having a little snuggle. A little snuggle is really important. And find out if you can snuggle with your sleeping spouse. You know, you don't necessarily have to be awake. So that's nice to have a bit of contact. And if you're an early bird, believe and accept that staying up late doesn't mean your night owl spouse loves you any less, and make the most of your overlapping hours together.
That's right, absolutely. But if you're engaging in snuggling with your laptop or with your iPhone, then you're going to be much more in tuned and engaged with that activity for longer. But if you're talking and communicating and discussing things, then you're able to, maybe your rhythm will be slightly more in unison and there'll be more harmony between the couple. Another thing to think about, Suzanne, is that some people naturally fall asleep faster than others. So couples often complain that, my goodness, this person puts their head on the pillow and bam, they're gone. Where did you go?
You know, I wanted to have a little chat.
I was in the middle of my story. And the last thing I heard was, and then, you know, I hear snoring going on in the background. So if you're the type of person who tends to take longer to fall asleep, your sleep hygiene needs to be done a little bit earlier than your partner's. So the toothbrushing, the winding down, not watching TV, getting into bed, and kind of relaxing should be done a little bit before maybe your partner, you know, gets into that process, because they're faster at falling asleep.
Well, Susan says, as a child, I was asked to go to bed at 6 p.m. I'm up before sunrise every day, so I'm an early bird because of this. So we were talking earlier, where does it stem from, the type of person you are, an early bird or a night owl? So here we go. As a child, she was encouraged to go to bed early, and that stayed with her. She goes on to say, I avoid night flights because I don't sleep on the plane, and I don't like missing a good night's sleep. It makes me feel tired for days. It's interesting, those people that really need their sleep. I'm highlighting that need for their sleep, and others who can function and be quite fine on a lot less.
That's right. And you see, part of that is genetic. part of that is inherited. So hormones and body temperatures differs amongst people. Early birds have higher levels of cortisol and in the morning, which gives them that perky edge. And what this is, it's the hormone in our system. So the body temperature tends to be lower in the morning and peaks in the late afternoon and decreases until bedtime. Early risers have a body temperature peak around 3:30 p.m. and night owls are hottest around 8 p.m. So if you think about it, the temperature levels in their body varies biologically. Of course, you've got this natural biological tendency, but also the way that you were raised, the household you were raised in, the expectations that you had. Some families tell their children, you know, anyone who stays in bed beyond 9 o'clock in the morning is useless. And they create a routine where the child has to get up, not sit around all day in their pajamas, but before they come out of their room, they should wear their clothing, take a shower, get dressed, come outside, get productive, rather than stay in bed at 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So really, how that behavior was reinforced or the consequences that you experienced as a result makes a difference. When I was lecturing in the UK, sometimes I would find my American study abroad students, Suzanne, come to class in their pajamas and with their slippers. So pajamas and then a coat over and their slippers. Literally, they would roll out of bed from their dorm rooms and come into class. And, you know, they're not fully awake yet.
No.
You haven't gone through the process, the bridge of having a cup of coffee or a tea or a beverage, taking a shower, washing your face, changing. All these things makes a difference to your natural disposition.
Hello, ladies. I'm a bit of a late night owl. I do like the mystery of the night and not particularly effective in early mornings. I'm a rather afternoon type, but appreciate the beauty of nature at daybreak. Enjoy your day either way, which is really, really good advice.
Nice.
Whatever you find your pattern of the day is, make the most of it. Now, Rula is some challenges here. For 2 weeks, I've had a job in Abu Dhabi. Each day, I have to drive back and forth from Dubai to Abu Dhabi and vice versa. 8 hours on the job at work, standing, and 2 hours driving each way. Needless to say, I have back pain and extreme fatigue. I sleep at 10 p.m. when I used to stay awake till 2 or 3 a.m. easily.
Yeah, that's not easy, right? Very, very tough. Especially, it seems like it's recent that this change has happened. The body will take about 6 weeks to adjust to this difference. And I'm glad to see that she says, I used to sleep at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but now that she's sleeping earlier. Because you know what happens, Suzanne, is when people make adjustments and now they have different working hours, they try to hang on to both rather than adjusting to one.
So that's a good point. And, you know, you need to do that and you need to get into a routine and to make sure you're getting some good sleep in there, because you are driving a 2-hour trip each day and you need to stay safe. But what you have done is identified already where you're the physical signs of what's happening to you. So the backache and feeling feeling fatigued.
Right. Psychological and physical. Yeah.
And again, you know, we talk about it a lot, but diet will have its place as well. So getting the right foods and to be able to take on the day and take on your workload and what's required of you.
That's right. And a lot of workplaces who recognize and really sympathize with people's challenges of getting to work in long hours, they now provide rest areas. So a common or some private resting areas in which people can go take a 20-minute power nap, half an hour power nap, so that they're able to, at least when they're driving back home, that they're safe and that they can be productive once again in the afternoon times.